Jesus tells us the second greatest commandment is love thy neighbor. What exactly does that mean? Is it like the golden rule, do unto others as you should have others do unto you, to treat people? Fortunately, Jesus has given us an answer in Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 40. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit. And further he tells us, I tell you, whatever you did for the least of the brothers of mine, you did for me. Jesus was put on earth as a sacrifice of God to wipe away the sins of mankind, but he plays another important role throughout the Bible, that of teacher. Many passages in the Bible illustrate the passages in the lectionary today. And as many of you know, teachers not only teach by instruction, but by being a good role model. So I've been a biker my whole life. I still bike at my age almost every weekend. And when I was young, I never wore a bike helmet. And the minute my children got bikes and I gave them bike helmets, I got one for myself too. We as parents want to be good role models for our children, just like Jesus wants to be a role model for us. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus goes to pray and he finds himself in a crowd of 5,000 people. He has compassion on them and heals the sick. When they are hungry, he turns 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish into enough food to feed the entire crowd. And many of you say, well, how can this be a role model for us? We can't perform miracles. I beg to differ with you. Each month, this church puts on a community dinner, and many of the people in this church serve dinner, they prepare the dinner, they eat with the people who come, and others supply the food. Is it not a miracle that this happens month after month? And is it not a miracle that everybody is involved? Many in the congregation are also professional healthcare workers. They heal the sick just as the miracle of Jesus doing so. And even if you're not a medical professional like a doctor or nurse, you help the sick in other ways. I remember when I fractured my pelvis a few years ago, I couldn't believe the outreach of this community. People offered to cook for me. They took me to doctor's appointments. It was really just wonderful. Jesus gives other examples throughout the Bible of things that we can do. At the wedding in Cana, Jesus performs another miracle. When the host runs out of wine, Jesus turns water into wine. And in order to understand the significance of that, you have to understand the significance of weddings in ancient culture and other cultures today. Wedding cultures are some of the biggest events in many cultures. For example, my daughter married a man from Mumbai, and the wedding, which was a week long, occurred in India. And you can imagine the embarrassment of a host running out of wine during the wedding ceremony. And so this was very important for that, and nice that Jesus had done this. And in the cultures, being a host or hostess is also very, very important. Families in India will invite people in for a meal, and if there is not enough food, they won't eat so their guests can eat. How do we treat our guests? When we have a workman at our house, do we offer them something to drink? Do we offer them food if it's at mealtime? Do we invite them in to use the facilities? And beggars on the street, what do we do? Do we give them money? Do we take them to a nearby restaurant and offer to buy them a meal? Do we invite them in our home for dinner? Or do we pass them by? And the homeless, do we offer them clothes and supplies by donating directly to them or to a charity? Do we donate to nonprofit and volunteer with ones to build temporary housing or build permanent housing? There are many nonprofits in the area that do this. The Haven and Habitat for the Humanity, Haven and Listen. Each month we have a food cart where we donate food to the Haven and Listen for their community dinners and lunches. And they are very involved in housing in the area. Habitat for Humanity is another organization that I know some of you have volunteered at. They build houses. Steve, for example, our minister, is very involved with Housing First, and I've attended some of their meetings. This is a local group of concerned nonprofits, businesses, and community members that is looking to build workforce and housing for those in need in the Upper Valley. Another example I can think a little farther from home is Pope Francis. It's my understanding when he came to the U.S. and was offered a meal with Congress, he chose instead to spend his time with the homeless. What do we do with our time? What do we do with our money? What do we do with our natural resources and talents? At the end of Jesus' ministry, before a Passover feast, Jesus, who is the guest of honor, dresses as one of the slaves and washes the feet of the disciples. This shows Jesus showing us to act with service and humility. And to understand what this means, you have to understand what it is like to walk around in the Middle East. There is dirt, there is dust. The only thing, you do not want to bring good shoes because you will no longer have those shoes. Most people wear sandals that you can wash when you get home. And the only thing I can liken it to here is walking through the mud in the spring and then walking in the house. And many of our caregivers, like nurses, do take care of people in the worst situations. But many other people help with the sick. And that is like Jesus in terms of following his footsteps. Throughout his ministry, Jesus also eats with sinners. Mark tells us that he eats with the tax collector Matthew, and other tax collectors and sinners eat with him. Luke and Mark tell us that Jesus eats at the house of Levi and eats with tax collectors and sinners. The Pharisees question his behavior. Clearly, in Jesus' days, tax collectors were considered sinners. They were in the employment of the Roman Empire, an occupying country who was collecting taxes on the people in the Middle East. Jesus shows us that even sinners are worth his time, for who is more in need of faith than sinners? Matthew, for example, eventually becomes a disciple of Jesus. Who do we view as modern-day sinners? Perhaps ICE agents are who are expelling immigrants, many of whom are here illegally and some of whom aren't, might be an example. How do we feel about them? Are we angry with them? Or do we view them as someone who is in need of a job and doing the best they can under the circumstances? Would we share a meal with them? Do we pray that they show compassion in their line of work? Or do we view them as someone who could either become a Christian or hope that they take a broader view of their faith if they are Christians? I'm not saying any of these things are easy answers. I don't have necessarily an answer. I don't know what I would do in that circumstances. I hope I would follow Jesus' lead. And in terms of helping the homeless or the beggars, I will buy somebody a meal, but I don't feel comfortable as a single woman inviting a stranger into my home. So we do what we can. As I draw to the end of the sermon, I want you to think about what gifts and talents has God given you? Are you following Jesus' example by using those gifts and talents to help your neighbor? Ask yourself, what else could I or should I be doing with the gifts God has bestowed upon me? I'd like to end the sermon with the words Steve typically ends the service with. Life is short, and we do not have much time to gladden the hearts of those who travel with us. So be quick to love and make haste to be kind. Thank you.